So as you've been hearing, NATO's 30 member states are holding a meeting in Brussels to discuss how to respond to Russia's attack on Ukraine. The alliance's eastern members are concerned about their security, including Lithuania, which has now declared a state of emergency. And NATO is likely to decide whether to deploy its response force to eastern European countries as a result.
What we have warned against for months has come to pass, despite all our efforts to find a diplomatic solution. Moscow bears sole responsibility for the deliberate, cold-blooded, and long-planned invasion. We condemn Russia's aggressions in the strongest possible terms and call on Russia to immediately cease its military action.
Let's bring in our diplomatic editor, James Bates. He's joining us from Brussels. So that is the first meeting of the NATO Council since the Russian invasion started, James. Tell us what we should be looking out for and what we expect to hear.
Yeah, this is the NATO Council, the main governing body that makes the decisions for NATO, meeting at summit level, all of them leaders, 30 leaders from the NATO nations, secure video conference. Most of them aren't here in Brussels. The NATO Secretary General is here and the Prime Minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban, because he was here from last night from the EU meeting. Most of the other European leaders have gone back to their capitals. Interesting that they're being joined by the EU. I think they're trying to show coordination with the EU to show, I think, not just the military aspects, but the punishment aspects on Russia of those EU sanctions, two sets of sanctions in place, another one being discussed right now. Also interesting that the others that joined the meeting, who aren't NATO members, are both Finland and Sweden. They are joining this meeting, which I think would be something that the Russians would not be pleased about, that they are getting closer to NATO. They also will not be pleased about the vast number of troops that have been flooding into Europe, many from the United States, but also troops being moved within Europe towards the Russian border. The one thing that Vladimir Putin said he didn't want was NATO and more NATO troops near his border. The result of his action is more have been deployed. We now have a total of 90,000 US troops stationed in Europe. Just 15,000 of those in the recent weeks have been moved here, and more military assets, including helicopters and planes, announced in the last 24 hours. My understanding from senior NATO officials is that we're expecting more to be announced from this meeting. But I think there are other aspects to this that won't be discussed and won't be mentioned publicly by the NATO leaders. I'm sure they're discussing the latest intelligence on the ground. How long can the government of the government of Ukraine, the government in Kiev, stay operational? When will the fall of Kyiv, if it does happen, when will that take place? And then what would NATO do at that point when it becomes a different scenario, an insurgency, a resistance? How would NATO support things going forward? I think some of this we're going to hear about in just over an hour's time when the NATO Secretary General briefs the press, but there's aspects that I'm sure at this stage they won't want to talk about.
James, what is your understanding about and this is something my guest just a moment ago pointed out, whether NATO will resume talks with Russia.
Well, NATO itself used to have relations with Russia. There used to be something called the NATO-Russia Council. Used to even, not in this building, in the other old NATO headquarters, used to have Russian diplomats permanently stationed at NATO. I don't see anything like that happening. But in terms of diplomacy between NATO nations and Russia, it's an interesting subject going forward. There is not a state of war between any of those NATO nations and Russia. Ukraine has cut off diplomatic relations, but I'm sure that other NATO nations will need to have in the future discussions with Russia. And clearly, there are forums where NATO nations and Russia are still talking. The OSCE in Vienna is a forum for the former countries of the Soviet Union to discuss with the West. There have been repeated meetings there. They've had to pull out their monitoring mission that was in eastern Ukraine in the last 24 hours. But the other key venue where this happens is, of course, at the UN. And there are regular discussions. And even now, I suspect there are discussions away from the cameras in the council chamber between the US ambassador and the Russian ambassador. ambassador, often those whispered conversations before a council meeting can be very important conversations. Worth reminding you that in a few hours' time in New York, in the UN Security Council, there is going to be a vote. I can tell you already the result of the vote. The resolution condemning Russia will be vetoed by a permanent member of the Security Council, Russia, which currently has the presidency of the UN Security Council. But I still think that is an important moment because I think it will show the condemnation of the other nations, and it will show where all of the 15 members of the Security Council stand. What will China do? Is it going to vote with Russia, or would it, as it did in 2014 on Crimea, will it abstain? And other key nations to watch, India, will that abstain, or will it vote with the Western nations and condemn Russia? And others potentially that you've got to watch, Brazil, I think, and maybe the United Arab Emirates. Will they abstain or will they vote no?
All right, we'll be watching out for that. Thank you so much. Our diplomatic editor, James Bayes, reporting from Brussels.